lady's going to set her phone up and record it. She's the one who then takes it and puts it on the website that Dale and she has. And really, for all intent purposes, it's a church website, but it nevertheless tells about their ministry of liberty behind bars.
Oh, okay.
And so, all right, Brother Joe.
Thank you, sir. Okay. What I'd like to do is tell you, I mean, you heard me preach and everything, and probably not nearly as good as your pastor's. He's got an eloquent voice. I would be like Moses. I am not eloquent of speech like that Asquith. You do have a nice voice.
Well, thank you, sir.
And but I'd like to tell you a little bit about myself, a little bit about our ministries. I'm still very involved in Africa and very involved in Sicily with the Africans. Okay? But I'll start with Africa. And then please listen to what I have to say. What time do we end?
2:00.
I was good. Not 1:30. All right. So we're going to move right along. And I'm going to tell you, the first mission field that I was going, let's pray. Father, thank you for this time together. Again, Lord, help us, Lord, as we, as I talk to these people, they can get to know me and know my family, know what we're doing, know what we've done, and just give them a little idea of who we are. And we thank you for that. And it's in, and give them an idea of how they can pray and the things that we've gone through. And it's in Jesus' name we pray, Lord. Amen. You know, the first ministry that I was going to do, I was going to be a missionary to Point Barrow, Alaska. Okay? Now, anybody know where Point Barrow, Alaska is? Don't say Alaska. It's the furthest most north point in Alaska. Needless to say, it's very cold, okay? So we were going to be missionaries there. And we go there, and things happened where we came back. We were planning on going. We had a free trip up. Everything was working out. Alaska is United States. I worked for the post office. I went to the post office. They were going to give me a job. And I told him I need weekends off because I'll be preaching on the weekends and going out on Saturdays. Listen, if you come up here, you could have weekends off. Just bring your paperwork. You have a job. So I had a person that was going to pay for our way back up when we were going to come. And we were all excited. So we go back and we're praying about everything. And then all of a sudden, one thing after another. You know what? That ministry, I'm not going to get into what happened, but that ministry didn't work. And we were not going to go up there. And it was like everything was falling into place. I didn't understand it. And then my wife, that woman God gave me, she looks at me and she goes, "Did you get anything from God's word?" And I said, "No." I go, "But look, if the circumstance was good, I believe there's such a thing called a brain fog, and it encompasses me. And then when I asked my wife, it would probably be in her head, but my fog encompassed her too. Everything was going well, except I didn't ask, I didn't get anything on God's word. And the thing fell apart. You know, the devil can fool people into thinking that what they're doing is right.
That's right.
And, you know, and it may be that even what you're doing is right, but it might be keeping you from what God wants you to do. So we always got to be careful when we ask God, "What do you want me to do?" You know, and my circumstances might all fall into place. But if you don't get direction from the Word of God, I say, it may not be exactly what God wants. You know, God, look at, trust in the Lord. Can you say this verse with me? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. Wait a minute. What? How many ways? All thy ways. Okay, so in all thy ways, if we acknowledge him, he'll direct our paths. You know, how is he going to direct our path? You know, one time I said he's not going to come to our bed at midnight and sit on our bed. I go, he's not going to. And then my cell phone went off in my pocket. And someone yells out, hey, maybe that's God. But you know, he's going to, look, we pray, that's talking to God, right? We read our Bible, what is that? Here, God talking to us. So if God's going to direct our path, he's not going to direct it only in a way that can be substituted or counterfeited. You're not going to counterfeit the word of God, okay? So we didn't go. So I sat still for 4 years. Then I was going to, in that time, I was going to start a church. And with a friend of mine. And he goes, you pray, you get the verses, and we'll see where we go. Well, I got all these verses, and I said, Pat, we're going south. We're going to Henrietta. I got verses saying to go south. Go where the green fields are on fire. I don't know. All I got was south. So Henrietta was south. So I said, we're going to Henrietta. Went to Henrietta. Couldn't find a church to save our lives, a building to have a church to save our lives. Just wasn't working. So I looked at Pat. I go, Pat, this isn't working. I go, I'm going to go do what I believe God is calling me to do, and that's be a missionary, and I'm going to wait to see where God calls me. And he goes, okay, Joe, I'm going to continue going south. So I think he went to Binghamton or somewhere around Elmira or something, and he started a church there. He has passed away since then. So I waited, and my kids come up to me, and they go, Dad, this is the two older ones. They were younger then. They said, Dad, our church is having a missions trip to Africa. Let's go. And they're all excited. And I go, wait a minute. You want to go to Africa? I go, do you know what's in Africa? Do you know what's in Africa? They got snakes in Africa. They got snakes that will bite you and kill you. They got bugs that will bite you and kill you. Everything will kill you in Africa. That's what I'm telling my kids. I go, I don't want to go to Africa. But I go, Dad, come on. Pray about it. So I prayed about it and I said, okay, we're going to go to Africa. So I go to Africa. Anybody got a prayer? You got a prayer card? Let me help you. Okay. So we go to Africa. Can everybody see that prayer card? Okay. And you know what? I fell in love with Africa. I really did. But not only did I fall in love with Africa, but I'm looking at the verses that I got to go to the mission field. It was, one of them was go south. Another one was where everything's on fire, the green grass is on, the green tree is on fire. And when I went there, it was a dry season. They were burning everything, where the faces of the people are black or burnt. Now when you burn something, it's black, right? So I go, this is it. This is where God was talking about. Went to my pastors, went to the missionary that was there. They said, okay, you can come over. My church at that time supported me fully. They don't anymore. I wish it did. But they said, get your stuff together. You got a year and you come over. So in that year, I still worked. I'm at the post office. And I'm selling stamps and stuff. And I got my prayer card in the front like that. And this guy comes up to me. And he looks at me. He looks at my prayer card. He looks at me. And at the prayer card, his finger comes out. And he goes, you're crazy. Uh-huh. you're crazy. I go, wait a minute. I go, a lot of people think I'm crazy for a lot of different reasons. Why do you think I'm crazy? He goes, you're bringing those kids to Africa? I go, yeah. He goes, do you know what's in Africa? I go, tell me. He goes, they got snakes. And you know what they'll do? I go, kill you? He goes, yes. And he goes, crocodiles, kill you? Yes. I go, everything will kill you in Africa. He goes, a lot of things can kill you. You're signing a death warrant for those kids. I look at him and I go, you know what? I go, you know, you've got a little problem. I go, number one, you probably don't know Christ as your Savior. I do too. I go to this church. It was the church that I used to go to. I'm saved. I go, well, you know what? If you're saved, shouldn't you put your trust in God? I mean, if God wants you to go somewhere, wouldn't that be that you're in the will of God? Bryce? Sure would, wouldn't it? If God wants me to go to Africa, I'd be in His will. And where's the safest place to be? God's will. So I said, you better go back to refresher classes. And he left. But you know what? I got the seed of doubt was planted. And I had gone back home and I said, you know, Jim, are we doing the right thing? Are we going to kill our children? Let me see if I can find a verse. Hey, come here. I think we're going to go to Jeremiah 42. Let's see. Jeremiah 42. Yeah. Okay. So I'm praying. Lord, am I doing the right thing? Am I making a mistake? Am I going to kill my children? And then, you know, when I get verses out of the Bible for direction, I do not just open up the Bible and skip different places to try to find something that would give me the direction that I wanted to say. Okay? So I'm in my regular Bible reading and I get this verse. And when I asked him, am I doing the right thing? Am I going to kill my children? I come to chapter 42 and start reading verse 13 to 16. Let's read it, okay? But if ye say, we will not dwell in this land, neither obey the voice of the Lord your God, saying, no, but we will go into the land of Egypt. Now what is Egypt a picture of? Pardon? Someone's got to speak louder.
The world.
Yes, the world. And I took that Egypt. What else is a picture of the world? The world. Let me tell you something. Any of you guys international travelers? You'll find that everybody wants to be like America. They may hate America, but they want to be like America. Yeah. So, you know, America is a picture of the world, just like Egypt, that great economy they had, everything. That was a picture of the world. Okay. But if ye say, we will not dwell in this land, in Zambia, neither obey the voice of the Lord your God, saying, no, but we will go into the land of Egypt, stay in America, where we shall see no war. This was before 9/11. Where we shall see no war, nor hear the sound of the trumpet, nor have hunger of bread, and there we will dwell. So, no, we're not going to go to Zambia. We'll stay in America. Won't we be safe there? And now, therefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye remnant of Judah. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, if ye wholly set your faces to enter into Egypt, to stay in America,
and go to sojourn there, to live there, then it shall come to pass that the sword which ye feared shall overtake you there in the land of Egypt, and the famine whereof ye were afraid shall follow close after you there in Egypt or America, and there ye shall die. And I said, that's enough for me. You know, and I never heard this. Do you know who Otto Koenig is? You don't know Otto Koenig? Anybody here know Otto Koenig? Well, I could tell this story and say it's just mine. Okay. but I heard his story afterwards, okay? I heard, I go, well, I can't do this. If I go, I could die here in America. You know, God could make the things that I'm afraid of in Zambia, he could put them right here, and I could have my children die. Well, there was this guy that he was a missionary and his wife, and there was some jungle type area. A true story too. And the mother was deathly afraid that her kids were going to get bitten by snakes. Now, the missionary, he knew that it was the will of God for him to be there. Well, the woman got so upset that she threatened to leave him, whatever, and he came off the mission field. He left the mission field where God put him to go live in Texas, where she felt safe. They had a trailer. Well, one day the kids were playing under a trailer and there were some rattlesnakes there, and the three little kids, they all got bit. They all got bit. And they heard the screams. The father ran out. One of the kids, he had gotten out, littlest one, he was crawling over to where his mother was, and the father grabbed the other two kids, didn't see that one, threw him in his truck, backed over his son. Yeah. Went to the hospital, they didn't make it. Something happened, the kids, I don't know if they were rattled, what kind of snakes, but the kids didn't live. Driving back to his house, he found the mother, his wife, in a rocking chair on the porch holding the dead son, and she also was dead from a heart attack. What had happened? You know what? She thought she would be safer in America. We need to listen to God no matter how dangerous or how crazy it might sound. When God tells us to do something, we need to do it. I looked at my wife and I said, that's it, we're going. So we went, and we're trying to start we worked with other missionaries for a year, and then we left them, and we went on our own to try to start our own work, our own ministry. We stood out on the streets for 1 month straight. We were going to rent a schoolroom 1 month straight before we started an actual church in there. And I used to come home and tell my wife, I'd say, Jan, you're not going to believe this. We're going to have to rent an auditorium, a stadium, all the people that say they're coming to church. Boy, you know what I found out about Zambian people? Lying is all right. No, I'm serious. In their culture, lying is all right. What's wrong is getting caught. Almost like here, huh?
Yeah.
But so we started our first service. We had six people. And I'm going, where are they? Boy, am I gullible, huh? But I don't know. So I'm not gullible anymore. Now I don't trust anybody. So we started our church service, and it was going, and we slowly increase, decrease, increase, and then finally we had opportunity to go into the hall, and we went into the school hall, and it increased a lot in the school hall, and then we said we need to build a building, and we started building a building, and couldn't get land. I told you earlier, couldn't get the land. Finally got the land through a Pentecostal lawyer, and it was amazing. Beautiful piece of land, beautiful location, wonderful. So we're building the church, and I get, took us about 8 years to build that church. I get to roof level, and now we got to put the roof out. And this new guy started coming to church, and he goes, "Pastor, it's been over a year that church has been sitting there without a roof. Start putting a roof on." I go, "You know what? It takes money to put the roof on." He goes, "Pastor, where's your faith?" I go, "Wait a minute." I go, "I'm supposed to be talking to you like this." So I came home. I go, "Man, I hate being talked to like that, especially from someone that's lost that just starts going to our church. He's got nerve." So I thought about it. I go, "You know what? We're going to start." So I told the people in the church, I go, "Listen," and I told them all through the building. And this is how the building went. It was remarkable. I told them, "Listen, I have some good news and I have some bad news. What do you want to hear first?" They go, "Well, let's hear the good news." I go, "Okay. The good news is we have all the money to build the church." "That's good news. What's the bad news?" I go, "The money is still in your pockets." But, you know, it really wasn't. They didn't have that much money. But I told them that anyways. So here we are. We're going to build this building. And we'd save up money and we'd build. And I told them. I go, "Now," they go, "can't people from the States help us?" I go, "Well, you know, we got God." One person wanted to have a car wash. I go, "You know, I've read the Bible quite a few times and I've never, ever read about a car wash. So I don't think we're going to have a car wash." I go, "I think God's going to have to help us." And they go, "Oh, God, huh?" I go, "Yeah, new concept, huh?" So I told them, I go, "Listen, what we need from you is we need you to give sacrificially. To give beyond your means. And when you do that, I believe that God will open up the gates and we will be blessed." And guess what? It worked. Every time they gave sacrificially, and I knew how much money they had, and every time they gave sacrificially, a church would give money. You know? And we ended up building the building. We built the roof. Right now, they're doing good. Right now, we're in the process of building a pastor's house. And that's going along good, because Elvis has to drive 4 to 6 hours, sometimes 6 hours. Our song leader, brother, you do the music here. Our song leader drives 5 hours, 5-6 hours every weekend. He has, he's an economist in the capital city. But yeah. Another guy, one of our deacons, he drives about almost a couple hours. He's out of, you know, they love our church. We're a very conservative church. Our song service, you know what? I went home to my home church and I'm listening to music. And they were singing the songs faster than what we do in Africa. You know, in Africans, they're, yeah. You know. And I never told them to, I told Elvis, I go, "You know, Elvis, this song, it's supposed to be a little fit." "No, this is how we sing it." They dress conservatively. One of the little kids was going to a Pentecostal school, you know, a grammar school. And the so-called Christian teacher was making fun of her because she wore skirts. "Why do you dress so old-fashioned?" You know, we never, you know, they just learned from observation. They didn't. And it was great. You know, we've been able to teach them. They very teachable. All the kids that we led to the Lord when they were 10 years old, boys and girls, are now the leaders of the church. The pastor, the assistant pastor, the deacons, the trustees, the King's Kids. You do King's Kids? You know King's Kids? King's Kids leaders. They're all Jan's King's Kids girls. They were all the little girls, and now they're the leaders. It's, yeah, it makes you cry. Doesn't it make you cry when you go back and see this?
Amen.
But we had to leave. I told Elvis, we can't stay, Elvis. And he goes, I want you to stay. I need you to stay. I can learn more from you. I go, possibly, but you can learn more from yourself, too, and God. I go, if I stay here, they're going to be coming to me because I've been their pastor for years. Or they're going to play us like a husband and a wife. And they don't like what they hear from you, they're going to come to me. And that happened one time when I was there last year. And I told, and Elvis saw it, he goes, Pastor, why did you tell that person that he was able to do that when I've been telling him that he can't do that? I go, I didn't know you told him he can't do that. He just came to me and I said, yeah, it's okay. And I go, but this is a good thing. He goes, how is it a good thing? I go, because you see now, if I stay, this is what's going to happen. He goes, I see what you're saying. So we stay in communication, and I help him out over the phone, and he's doing just a great job. And then I said, well, he goes, where are you going to go? I go, well, I don't know. I go, I'll probably go wherever God leads me again. I'm going to pray and ask for some verses, and God gave me some verses to go north. So I said, okay, maybe northern Zambia, maybe northern Africa, I don't know. But, oh, can I back up?
Go ahead.
You don't mind if I back up. You see, sometimes in my brain, I have all the knowledge of past experiences, but I can't get them all the time right away. They're like Halley's Comet sometimes. Every 76 years they come around. But I was thinking about, is his name Dennis that's going to the jail?
Dale.
I was talking to him outside. When I was in Zambia, I also preached in the, jail ministry. There was three like 900 square foot ranch type houses, gate around the whole place. Houses were gutted, opened. No furniture, no nothing. They had a mat they could sleep on the floor. 100 per house. They had windows, but no glass, no drapes, no shutters. Just open windows all along the ways. And at nighttime, they had lights running down the center. And the lights would stay on. And the mosquitoes would eat them up. And they had diseases, just like you wouldn't believe the diseases they would get. A lot of AIDS. You know, they were, you know how people in jail, they change sexual preferences sometimes, you know. They had all these diseases. One, you know, they're always asking me for medicine. And one guy comes up to me and he goes, I need medicine. And I go, look around. Everybody needs medicine. And he opens up his shirt and it was like real bulbous, not by his nipple, but below. Real bulbous, open, bleeding, and yellow pus coming out. It was positively disgusting. And on his shirt was this blood and pus all mixed together on his shirt. And I looked at him and I said, you know what? I go, you do need medicine. Someone had poked him with a stick that he probably dunked in something. But I go, but you know what that shirt reminds me of? I go, that shirt reminds me of a filthy rag. And I started telling him Isaiah 64, how our righteousness is like a filthy rag to God. And you know what? A filthy rag, can that clean you? He goes, no. I go, would you take that shirt and wash your face with it? Oh, no. And I go, well, you know, that's how God sees our righteousness. And our righteousness will not get us to heaven. We need Jesus' righteousness. That's the only thing clean enough to clean us. I go, but our righteousness is just like that filthy rag you got on. And I was able to explain it to him and give him the gospel and everything. But it's like, it was an amazing situation dealing with these people. 5-year sentence and you're probably dead. I think I'm going to switch to Sicily now. Now we go to Sicily, and I don't have a church. And what I want to do is I do want to have a church in Palermo where we live. But what I'm trying to do is I came back for a couple of purposes. My daughter Adina, or Anna, who's taking care of the kids right now, she had a graduation, homeschool graduation with our church. And then a very good friend of mine in Michigan has a church up there. Should write this down. Liberty Gospel Tracts. He's got all kinds of tracts and Bible studies. And the kids there, their homeschool group, wanted me to come and do their graduation. So I said, okay, well, we'll do that and that, and then I'll see if I can get more support, because what we're going to do is we're going to try to rent like a storefront in Palermo so that we can actually have a church there. I have a friend that I'm discipling there, and I always say it wrong. I say Sri Lanka, but it's Sri Lanka? Sri Lanka. He's from there, and I just talked to him a couple days ago, and he goes, Pastor, you come back, and you start a church in this town, I'll have 25 right that day wanting to come to your church. You know, and then we'll have the Africans too. But eventually we're going to learn Italian, and we'll minister to them also. But my main thrust in Sicily is to the African refugees. Now I told you, what did I tell you the biggest problems Americans have?
Our phone dropping.
Well, you know what? These African refugees, like the pastor said, they come through deserts, they come up to like Libya. You know what's in Libya? Things that'll kill you in Libya. In Libya, they have a lot of Muslims. Okay? But the last person that I led to the Lord, his name is Isaac. Isaac, he was in Nigeria, the area of Nigeria he was in. His father was was a chief. You know, every section they had chiefs. His father was a chief. Well, a neighboring tribe came in, killed a lot of them, killed the chief, Isaac's father, made the mother lame. They got the two brothers, Isaac and his brother, got the mother out of there, and they brought her to a safe place where they went up to Libya to work and send money back to her so she could survive. Well, some Muslims broke into the place where they were, shot the place up, killed the brother. Isaac got shot. He managed to live, and he decided to come over to Italy, to Sicily, and send money back. So that was his story. Serge, who I left in charge when I left, when he was coming over, and he went to get on the boat, and like Pastor told you, 50, it should hold 200 on the boat, like this. Well, the boat was full, and they said, sorry, the boat is full. He goes, but I paid. Now, these people pay about $1,000 each to get on that boat, to stand there just like this for the whole length of the trip. And I'll tell you what happens. A lot of those boats, a lot of them don't make it. Well, the boat that Serge was supposed to get on, it didn't make it. They all capsized and sunk, and they all died. You get in the middle of the Mediterranean, some of those waves could be pretty strong. And if you move, if everybody moves around too much, because of the overpacking people, it will capsize. So there's have been literally thousands and thousands. Osis got on a boat. When he left, there was three boats leaving. He got on his boat. His boat made it. The other two boats that took off at the same time as him, they all drowned at sea. Literally, thousands and thousands of people are drowning and dying at sea. We read that a lot of these people, they're trying to get on boats, they don't have the money. That in Libya and other countries around there, what they're doing is they're kidnapping them, they're killing them, these Africans, and surgically removing organs and selling their organs. So you know what? Dropping your cell phone does not seem like too much a problem anymore.
That's right.
But there is a, you know, what do they say? There's a silver cloud. Don't ever correct me. There's a silver cloud with lining. There's a silver lining with every cloud. You know, it's not always that bad. You know, you see all these problems that these people have. And yes, they do have a lot of problems. But you know what the silver lining is? That it puts them in probably the lowest ebb that they have ever been in their life. And there's only one place to look. You know, they... there's only one place to look them. You know where these people are coming from? They're coming from the 1040 window. A lot of times you can't get into the 1040 window to preach the gospel. But I got the 1040 window coming to me, which is a real blessing. Now these people... What was I going to say? I was going to say something before. I can't think what I was going to say. It's gone. Maybe God didn't want me to say it. I don't know. But we're over there. We're working hard. I know what I was going to say. When I was in Zambia, when I first started, they thought I was with the CIA. They couldn't figure out what I was doing. Now, with the refugees, they think I'm a spy. Yeah. Let me go back, flashback to Africa. You know, God says that... how does he say it? Someone help me. When you have... You'll be at peace with God, even with your enemies.
Make it even his enemies to be at peace with
him. No, you're going to be at peace with God, with your enemies.
Right. In other words, if a man's ways please the Lord,
yes.
Even his enemies.
Yes, that's the verse. Okay. And you know what? Here I am building a church, and I'm going to put the roof on. And I was going to put this one type of roof, not lumber, but this bars put together. And I go to this guy, he's a Hindu. And I go, Kior, my name's Joe, I introduce myself. He goes, what can I do for you? I go, I noticed your ceiling, how you got your, strusses. Thanks. English. See?
Yeah.
I'm learning. and I go, I'd like to do this. And he goes, well, I know a guy that can supply all this at cost. I go, really? I go, okay. He goes, come and see me. He goes, let's go measure your building. So we went out to measure the building. We come back. He goes, come and see me tomorrow. So I went to see him tomorrow. And he goes, Joe, scrap all those thoughts. I go, why? He goes, we're using steel. I go, steel? I go, Kior. I go, I can't afford steel. I've been out to all the steel, sell people that sell steel. Can't afford it. He goes, let me show you something. And he opened up his book. He was a metal fabricating company. He opened up his book. He goes, this is what the price that I buy this steel at. And I looked at it. And I go, I can't even get the lumber that cheap. He goes, no, you can't. He goes, but I can get the steel this cheap. He goes, we're going to use steel. He goes, and another thing. What do they call it? Struts?
Truss.
Trust me on that. Trusses. He goes, I'm going to make your trusses for you. And I'm going to put your trusses up for you. He goes, do you have roofing sheets? I go, yeah, I got them. He goes, we'll put them up for you too. I go, wow, that's great. So now I'm thinking, man, labor sometimes can be more expensive than the actual cost of the product. So I look at him, I go, okay, Kior. I go, what kind of labor costs are you going to give me? Labor costs? He goes, no labor costs. I go, no labor costs. I go, why? He goes, it's a house of God. He goes, well, we're just going to do it. And they did it. But I needed about 4,000 more bricks. So in the meantime, there was this guy I knew owned restaurants and butcheries, and they were called After 10 Butcheries, After 10 Restaurants. And he would go through 800 chickens a day at these all of his places. And they were run. They had a chicken shortage. And I look at him, I go, Hassan, why don't you just grow your own chickens? He goes, good idea, Joe. I think I will. So he started making bricks and making chicken coops and doing his own chickens. Well, I came where I needed about 4,000 bricks, and I go up to him and I go, hey, Hassan, can I get some bricks from you? He goes, yeah. He goes, how many you need? I go, I need about 4,000. He goes, all right, I think I could do that, you know, a little at a time, we'll do it. How much you want to pay? I go, don't do that. I go, how much you want? He goes, I'll tell you what. I'll write down a figure, you write down a figure. So I was making bricks for about $1 a brick. Okay? Well, I wrote down 75 cents a brick. And he wrote down the same thing, actually 70 cents a brick. And he wrote down the same number. So, you know, if I went to buy the bricks, they would have been $2 a brick. If I made them, they'd be $1. But I'd have a complete mess everywhere. But he sold them already made to me for less than I could make them. And he was a Muslim. And then he goes to me, he goes, Joe, I will finish the total inside of your church. Make it nice, beautiful. He goes, now they sold these things in his restaurants called shawarmas. They were like gyros. And he goes, I'll finish this thing off, but in the back of the church, I want to sell the shawarmas. And he goes, and we got to change the name. I go, what's the name going to be? He goes, we'll call it After 10 Bible Baptist Church. And I go, Hassan, that'll work. I go, because the people don't get here till after 10 anyways. We didn't do that. But, yeah. He also dug, I needed to put a well in. They call them boreholes. And I went to price it. And the borehole was going to cost me between $45,000 and $5,000. And I went to him, Hassan. I go, Hassan, you know anybody? I need a borehole. He goes, I sure do. He goes, I'm having 5 boreholes drilled right now with the same company. And they're giving me a real cheap price. And he goes, I'll just add you on. So instead of $4,800, I paid $3,000 for the borehole. And he gave me a pump, which is expensive, you know, a submersible pump. And he had his guys come up and he gave me a water storage tank held up. And these are guys that are Muslims and
glory to God.
Yeah. So, you know, it's just amazing how the church was built. We got the land from a Pentecostal lawyer that was with the church next to us. You know, pray for us. You know, God's using us. And right now, when I go back, I got about 10 people, 9 or 10 people that need to be baptized in the Mediterranean, which will be neat. And I need prayer that we can get into. There's a camp we found out that has children, and we want to get into that camp. It's hard to get into some of these camps. It's a lot of them are Catholic and they don't want you in. The girls' camp, they after about the 4th visit, a couple of them got saved, and they don't want us back because they read the material, you know, being saved by grace. But they said we can go outside and do it. So the weather will be nice when we go back. And we got chairs and we set them up outside. But pray, please take my prayer cards. Pray that we can get into more camps. And also pray that we need to start a church in Palermo. Okay? So pray for those things if you would, please. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for this time together. And we're just very grateful that we have the opportunity to be here. And Lord, we love you.
In Jesus' name we pray.